Today is Monday, September 21st, 2015, and I am talking with Wally Prosa.
Well, Wally, tell me, you were born in Czechoslovakia. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, I was 9 years old when I came here. And so I do remember a lot. My brain hasn't gone south on me yet, but I have great memories of it. And I, of course, right now I've lost track of all my relatives over there, and I'm sure there'd be maybe one or two still alive, but I'm not quite sure about that anymore. So, but one interesting thing was that I was in the Marine Corps, and we floated around the Mediterranean. We used to send a fleet of ships out there and just float around and be the protectors of whatever it was going on. And I had this tremendous urge to take off and go to Czechoslovakia. I could have, because I had time. They would have gave me time. I was a Marine captain, and they would have let me go. But the Russians, we were in a Russian zone over there. My country, Czechoslovakia, was in a Russian zone. And I was always so afraid that if I did that, and you go over there and you get caught, you all of a sudden you got an international up just a burst. And so, and I never thought of myself as being important enough for anyone to want me, but there was always that possibility, and I never did it. I gave up that idea, and even now as I think about it, I regret I didn't go. But I did the smart thing not to go. But that thing still haunts me, because I was so close and it was so important to me. I still had relatives up there, or at that time. I'm sure they're all gone now or whatever. And that was a story that always haunts me. But
do you remember coming over when you were nine?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you come with?
Well, my dad was here already. My dad came. I think I was born, and I was born in 29. I came here in 39, so I was 10 years old. But he came back, obviously, at a certain time. And the war just was getting started over there, and they had to get us out of here. But, oh, the important thing was my brother was 16 years old, and he was going to serve in the service over there if we didn't get out of there. So it was important for my brother to be yanked out of there. And I don't know what was going on, but I said, I'm going. They're not leaving me back here. But obviously, they had a problem. There was a money problem, I'm sure. How do you get, we don't have enough money. And I don't know how it all came out, but I came out of there, Mom and my brother. And we left my sister behind. And she died right when the war ended. And she was only about 18 years old. So I always felt very bad that I should have been the one there. And she should have come here. And we always say it was a simple thing, like, she had like measles, like any kids here, or whatever the childhood diseases we had at the time. We had the medicine. They didn't have the medicine, so she died. And it's been a long time since I thought about it. I was bold and brash when I was a 9-year-old kid, and I'm going to America. And so, and I came here. There was nobody, I was Superman himself, in my mind, you know. And nobody ever picked on me. They used to pick on my brother, who was twice my size. And I just back off. I just picked up a bat and started swinging away. You know, I was a little kid. No, I was so brash. And of course, I love sports, and I played all the sports. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to Northwestern to play football. So it was a thing I appreciated. I don't know, even when I look back, is how lucky I was to get that scholarship.
What position did you
Well, play? It turned out to be really strange. I could kick a football probably any, no one could outpunt me. No one outkick me. And then I was in high school here, Morton High. I always scored the big touchdowns and everything. So I got the scholarship to go to Northwestern. Didn't have to pay a dime or a nickel for my mom. But when I got to playing, in those days, they had what they call, you were either on offense or you were on defense. You didn't play both. It started in my era, too. You know, excuse me. Prior to that, you could play both sides all the time. But in that era, you either played one or the other. See? So I as a freshman, you weren't allowed to play on the varsity. And so I was always out there playing against the varsity. As a freshman, we practice all the time. So, and I was a little guy. I was smaller than you, normal. You know, I thought I was. But I got to learn how to play real good. And instead of playing offense, like in high school, I always scored all the touchdowns. That's why I got to Northwestern. But when you're a freshman, they put me on the other side because practice against the varsity. So I learned. So I got to be pretty good, and then all I ever did was play defense. And I could kick a football a mile and a half down the field, but they would never let me punt because they worried somebody's going to block my kick. I took an extra half a step when I was punting, you know. And so it's something that... So I never punted, and I never played defense, and when I ended up, I played the opposite of that. And it was nice. I didn't mind. I got free education.
What did you study at Northwestern?
Biz Ed, business education. They had a nice department. And I doodled all the time, so I took a lot of art courses. And business, yeah. So I was in the business school over there, so.
And what did you do then after you got out of Northwestern?
Well, that's a good question, because it gets a little foggy. I always wanted, back in my mind, I always wanted to work for myself and do something, whatever it was. So in the end, I ended up having my own business. I haven't talked about it in ages. I'm glad you're here listening to it. It was very fascinating to me. But I was always, very forward, very maybe abrasive, maybe irritating. I started going with Mary Ann, my wife. We ended up with 6 kids, 3 boys and 3 girls. And she's gone now, and I can't remember when she died, but she's always with us, you know how they are.
How did you meet? Do you remember how you met?
No, she was up to no good all the time, you know. She actually, there's a story to it. She wanted to meet Bobby Will, and I'm Wally Proxa, okay? We were alike. He was the left halfback, and I was the right halfback on the football team. She thought I was Bobby Will, you know, but he was Bobby. So she was in for a surprise, I guess. And even to this day, I don't know which guy she wanted, Wally Proxa or Bobby Will. It's a little confusing. But yeah, she was a sweetheart, lovely lady. She had 6 kids, and she was always a great mom.
Any family stories when your kids were growing up that you come to mind?
Well, I don't know, but I bet there was something going on every day. Yeah, they used to get together once in a while and just create a lot of jokes and things of that nature, you know, trying to fool us.
Oh.
Yeah. Mom and Dad, yeah.
Any advice you'd give to your kids?
No, they were all wonderful kids. They turned out better than I ever hoped and expected. You know, literally, they've been spread all over the country. Yeah. And I still would like to go back to see my land. Czechoslovakia, just to see what is going on.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're from in Czechoslovakia? Do you recall the name of the town?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. It was called Vilaček. And they changed the name to Malá Zaluzhia because I think the history goes back to the 1904 war or something like that. And they were called Malá Zaluzhia at that time, but when they were taken over by the enemies, they changed the name. So, and when I left, they changed the name back to Malá Zaluzhia, and I knew it as Vilaček.
It's
a little confusing to everybody.
So what is it called today?
Malá Zaluzhia.
How would you spell that?
Well, Malé means small, but I'd be darned if I know what Zaluzhia means. Zaluzhia, Zaluzhia.
And how did you learn English? Because there's no trace of an accent at all.
Well, by osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was 6 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was 9 years old when I came here. He was 15, 16. And he picked it up. He picked up the accent where I did not. I think I never made a study about this, but I think past 12 years old or something like that, you pick it up already because you've gone to a lot of schooling in Europe where I didn't. I was just in first grade, I think,
mm-hmm.
when I came here,
yes.
Or second or third, I think it was third grade. So everything wasn't all set as you grow, as you learn. The early years, those are formative years where you pack it in. You just suck in information just by looking at whatever kids does. I never made any study about that. But at a certain point, everything is all set for you already. So you have an accent, you can't get rid of it. You And no matter how hard you try, you would mix it all up. So that's what happened to me.
What do you think your dad did when you came, when he was here? What do you recall what he did for a living?
He worked for Swift and Company, and he was don't want to call him a butcher, but he used to work in these ice boxes where they would cut up the meat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had. And he has an interesting story because the poor man was just dying. And he used to go in and out of those ice boxes every day. You go from the hot to the cold, and you go cold to the hot, you know? And it affected him so bad that he had to quit. And of course, he didn't know what to do, but he was learning to be a shoemaker when he lived in Europe. His father sent him to some guy who knew how to, was a shoemaker in Europe. And so at 9 years old, he's becoming a shoemaker or learning the trade. And my dad was a smart guy. This is what was sad about it. He loved to read, he loved all of the, but they wouldn't let him go to school. I think he went third, fourth grade or fifth grade, maybe even up to eighth grade, but he had to go to work. He had to work as a kid. Eventually.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy. My father was a great guy. Great man. Loved him, yeah. And but he was always frozen. when I started, I was a kid out on the street, you know, and I didn't speak English at all, and he used to pick on me, make fun of me, but it never bothered me, because I don't know why, I was the toughest guy in the world. You could not mess with me without you getting hurt, I felt that. I felt it physically. It was all mental, because I wasn't that big. I was nothing. Mm-hmm. But you messed around with me, you were in trouble. I don't care if he was 10 feet tall. It was a mental thing to me. So I started, I loved sports. So I was playing baseball and then football, you know, all that. And it ends up that I got a scholarship to go to Northwestern because I played football at Morton High. And good enough for them to want me to go and pay for my education. And I had other schools. Yale wanted me, you know, Indiana University. So I thought, well, Northwestern. And I started going with Marianne, my girlfriend is here. I'm going up here. I'm not going out of... I am not going to Yale. And of course, I think Yale was intimidating to me a little bit, mentally. See, I had my brain. I don't know if I could, you know, but there was just a kid talking, I know. So it was fascinating for me when I grew up that way. Got to Northwestern, I got... the competition was a little different, you weren't the best out there, you tried to be, but anyway, I got to play all the time anyway, so whatever, just takes 11 guys to play the game now, but it was fun, it was good, and I got home on weekends, every weekend we'd come home, you know, see my girlfriend, so.
Sure.
I have an interesting, fascinating to me now when I look back at it.